Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
I've always prayed that I would be able to pastor a church that had a great choir. I am here. We are here. We are here. Choir, words cannot express what that felt like. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning verse 1 through 13, is our lectionary text for this first Sunday in the season of Lent. Hear these words of the Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing all during these days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all their authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to whoever I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an appointed time. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Speak to us again, O Lord, in this Lenten season, to remain faithful in our relationship with you and neighbor and self. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On this Lenten Sunday, we walk into a story that is oftentimes very intimate and very private. Can you imagine writing out your temptations and letting the world know how you were tempted? In the Gospel of Luke, we find that Jesus has just been baptized, and God has said to him, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, I don't know about you, but when God affirms us, we can become in a very vulnerable position. And the vulnerable position is, God has just said, "I am his beloved child in whom he is well pleased." That can make you feel a certain way. It can humble you, or it can make you filled with pride. Both ways are vulnerable. One is good, one isn't so good. But Jesus, after he is baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, he hears who he is led into the wilderness. And during this Lenten season, that's where you and I are oftentimes invited to go to have a self-introspection, to have self-inventory, as you and I may have grew up hearing, of ourselves in this Lenten season in our relationship with God, neighbor, and self. One of the great things about going into counseling, and when I was in seminary, I put myself in counseling. And the reason I did that, I was in an SM class where there were people a lot smarter than me that after they were there for a while, the supervising elder said to them, "I think you need CPE. And I thought, "Dear Lord, if they need CPE, I need something." Because these were very smart people, smarter than me. And if they needed help, God knew I needed help, so I beat them to the punch. I put myself in counseling. I had an Episcopal priest. She was a bulldog. She would say things to me that I couldn't believe because I was paying her good money. But it was good for me. I enjoyed counseling because it allowed me to deal with myself and allowed me to see some things about myself that a lot of times I couldn't see. I refused to see. I was blind to see. There was one time that I was talking to her, and you know what she said to me? She had the nerve to say to me, "Randall, you think you're a good person, don't you?" And I thought, well, thank God she's finally earning her money. What I didn't know is she didn't mean that in a positive way. She said, "You are so good, aren't you?" And I thought, yes, ask my mama. She'll tell you that. But sometimes we can feel like we're too good. We can feel like that God loves us so much that we are special. In other words, we can get this self-righteousness, holier-than-thou attitude, and think that we have the right to ask and to do. The evilness of this world takes Jesus and says, if you are the Son of God, or another way of interpreting those words is, since you are the Son of God. Well, Jesus just found out who he was. God just told him. And the evilness of this world said, since you are, then here, why don't you do something for yourself? As we shared a while ago, doing something for yourself isn't sinful. But being self-centered is sinful. Whenever you and I are famished, whenever you and I are in need, whenever you and I are grieving, when you and I are down or even up, you and I can be at a very vulnerable point in our life, and people can take advantage of you and me. There are people in our world who are expert at seeing people in their most vulnerable place and taking advantage of them. That's why we ask people who care for our children and youth and even older adults be certified through our Christian way of being, can't even think of the word. Safe sanctuary. Thank you. Safe sanctuary to know what it is to be abusive and how not to treat people. Being tempted means to be that which God did not create us to become. Let me say that again. To be tempted means to become that which God did not create us to be. In other words, if I'm tempted to lie, did God create us to be a liar? No. Therefore, we say, get thee behind me, Satan. We don't lie. That's not who we were created to be. If we are tempted to become something that God is not, then we are being tempted to be something that God did not create us to become. The evilness of this world is tempting Jesus to become something that he was not created to be. He was created to only love God, to worship God, to do what God would have him to do. Now, I believe that Jesus was human and divine. I need to make that statement before I make this next statement. I believe Jesus had two wills that he dealt with. Just like I think you and I have two wills to deal with. When you and I accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior and invited the Holy Spirit to live among us, he came to live with us. He has a will. I have a will. You and I say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that because we know that we may not always choose to be willing to will his will. When Jesus was in the garden and he said, Lord, may this cup pass before me. May this cup pass by me. That was his will. But then he said, not my will, you see. Not my will, but thy will be done. You see, I believe that Jesus could have failed. I have to believe that, because if I don't, this story means nothing. There's a reason that the Hebrew scriptures say that he was tempted in all ways that you and I are tempted, but without sin. It seems that we have a high priest who can identify with you and me. He knows what it's like to be tempted to become what God did not create him to be. He wants you and me to know that he knows what that is like. So that when we go to him in prayer, we're not going to someone who has no earthly idea what it's like to be human living in this world. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be tempted not to become and to be the person God created him to be and to become. That's important for you and me to know. Because if Jesus could not have done this, then it means nothing at all. You know, it's like meeting someone who's never had a need in the world. All their needs have always been met. And then whenever they look and see that someone is in need, they can't imagine someone else being in need because they've never been in need. Well, guess what the blinding fact is? They've never been in need. When you and I are in need, we become vulnerable. And people will take advantage of us. Religious people will take advantage of us. I have always wondered, whenever I was doing a funeral, things began happening. People would start saying to me, "The preacher, I don't want a sad funeral." I thought, this is a funeral. I mean, don't get me wrong. You hear what I'm saying? This is a funeral. I never understood that. Eventually, someone came to me and said, "You know, Randall, when people are at a funeral, they're very vulnerable. And preachers can manipulate people to do things and say things and to think things that they normally wouldn't think and say. That's really not fair." Never thought of that. I thought, so in other words, you don't want a funeral that's sad because you don't want to be manipulated. You want to be honored. You want people to let you be where you are without using that to get something out of you. I get it. Then, I didn't before. Because, brothers and sisters, when we are vulnerable, it's when we are in need of asking God to be present with us and to help us to get through. Because you and I are our strongest when we are our weakness. And what that means is this. When we are at our weakest point, that's when we end up on God the most. Sometimes we may find the least, but that's where we need to find God the most. Here Jesus was in a very vulnerable position and being tempted to become someone he was not created to be, and he knew. He knew the right thing to do. He knew the Torah. He quoted the Torah. But what is so funny and what is so mind-boggling is here you have the evilness of this world. See what he's doing. He's using the scriptures to not obey what the evilness of this is doing. So the evilness begins to quote scripture to Jesus. He turns it around. Well, are you going to quote the Torah? Here, I know the Torah. Here, I know some scripture. Here, take this. Jump off the temple. I believe it says in the Torah. You see, you and me can make the Bible say all kind of things, can't we? We can make it say all kind of things. Some things we hear it said that it does say, and some things we hear that it says it doesn't say. One of the things I learned in seminary was when you and I make the Bible say what we want it to say, that's called eisegesis. That's one of those $60,000 words I'm teaching you. Then the other one is exegesis, right? You hear out of the scriptures what it comes. We either put in or we take out. And the goal is to hear what it says without us trying to add to it, which is very, very hard not to do. Jesus knew the Torah. He knew the Torah, but he knew something better than the Torah. He knew the author of the Torah, his Father. He knew that what he was being tempted to do was not who he was called to be. And you and I know that as well. Many of us were raised by parents who taught us what was right and what was wrong. You and I know when we sin. And if you and I have the Holy Spirit living within us, when you and I sin against God and neighbor or self, the Holy Spirit is going to nudge us and say, hey, hey, and is going to bring it to our consciousness. And there we have the opportunity to confess our sins, and Jesus will forgive us of our sins and wash us from all unrighteousness and put us in relationship and keep us there with Him, and we can move on. We don't have to stay stuck. Today, brothers and sisters, in this Lenten season, I ask you and me to be aware when we are tempted. Be aware when we are tempted to yield. Be aware when we at our most vulnerable state and people can use us and abuse us for their glory, for their honor, for their profit. Know when you and I are vulnerable so that we can lean upon God and not be taken advantage of and not become what we were tempted to be. May we pray. As we leave this place, O Lord, we will find ourselves at times being tempted to be people that we know that we have not been born to be. Inspire us, strengthen us, give us courage to say no to the evilness of this world and to say yes to You. Regardless how much suffering, pain, sleep we may lose, help us, we pray, to be faithful. We ask this in the name of the One who created us and who calls us to be. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.